Yeah, so we'll discuss a little bit about the question of pregnant women going to cemeteries, as well as an Ashes Kohen, the wife of a Kohen, going to a cemetery. So it actually begins in Parshas Emor, where the Torah tells us, Emor o Kohanim b'nei Aaron, that God told Moshe to speak to the Kohanim, v'amarta leihem l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. You know, stay away from cemeteries, don't defile yourself. And Rashi quotes as the famous drasha, B'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. This only applies to male Kohanim and not the daughters of a Kohanim. So if you're a mother of a Kohen, a wife of a Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, you do not have a prohibition of going to a cemetery to going into Ola Ames. It's clear that it only applies to B'nei Aaron, Lo B'nos Aaron, which leads us to the famous question of the Rokeach. The Rokeach was the first one to ask it, but a lot of people have discussed it since. An Ashes Kohen Shemuberes, a wife of a pregnant Kohen, is she permitted to go into a Ohel Hameis? Is she permitted to go into a cemetery? Well, what's the problem? We just said it only applies to B'nei Aaron, Lo B'nos Aaron. So he's raising the issue, maybe she's pregnant and having a boy. And therefore, we could attack his assumption at some point, but that's clear. The assumption of the Rokeach's question is that he has a status, you know, there's a status of a Kohen. And the question is, assuming it's a boy, is it a problem for a wife of a Kohen to go in? Because maybe she has a boy fetus, a boy inside, and therefore that will violate the prohibition of Tumas Meis. So the Rokeach says, no problem. It's a Svek Sveka. It's a double doubt. One doubt is, maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a girl. And secondly, even if it's a boy, Shema Nefahu. Maybe the boy will be a stillborn, a miscarriage, it won't lead to fruition. So that's famous Rokeach, based on double doubt, one is permitted, the wife of a Kohen is permitted to go into a cemetery. So I'm always asked, Rabbi, does Jewish law change? Which could be my other topic. Does Jewish law change? And I say, well, it depends what you mean by change. I usually get cognitive dissonance, and then I explain what I mean. I say, well, it depends. If you ask me the question today, and you asked me the question 300 years ago, I might have a different answer for you, a different bottom line answer. But if you ask me about the principles given to Moshe at Har Sinai, the principles never change. So let me explain. So we have a principle, a general rule, Safek da'oraisa l'chumra, a doubt regarding a biblical law was strict, Safek da'rabbanan l'kula, a doubt by a rabbinic law was lenient. And a double doubt is a svek svek is mutter. So that those principles never change. So the Rokeach is saying, since it was a double doubt, so therefore it's mutter. So the question is, Bizman Hazeh, that we have the sonogram. So number one, would a wife of a Kohen be obligated to take a sonogram test? And just as important, would Ohip cover the sonogram? And secondly, if it turns out to be a male fetus, would that change the psak? So regarding the first Shiloh, whether you have to be Mavari or not, that's the famous Ramah in Yerodea, Kuf Yud Simin Tes, he writes, Yesh Vahatim Mikolak Svek Sveka. The Ramah seems to say that even your letter rely on Svek Sveka even without being Mavara, even without clarifying. The Shach disagrees. Well, he quotes the opinion of like the Ramah, or people who like the Ramah, and then he writes V'yesh Cholkin. At the end he writes V'yesh Lahachmir Hecha De'efshar V'ein Hefse B'davar. So the Shach says at the end of the day, he says one should be Mavara if you can. So it's a, and it seems to be a fundamental machlokes, Achronim, Ramah, Shach, whether one has to be Mavair or a Svek Sveka. So, what's the Nekudat HaMachlokes? but he had to move out of Svek Sveka. On whether, how does Svek Sveka work? Does it work Betoriz Vadai? Do I say once the halacha says Svek Sveka is mutter, end of discussion, or do they no? Really, it's a din of probability, 66%. So the likely odds are it's good, but if you could make it to 100% or 90%, then go ahead and do it. So the Rama seems to work, it's Betoriz Vadai, and it's mutter, you don't have to be mevarer. The Shach says no, it seems to be working with probability, and therefore, if it's not a big tircha, it's not a big hefsid, one should do it. So if sonograms, you didn't have sonograms then, but if sonograms are covered under OHIP and it's not a big deal to go, so then according to based on the Shach, one would have to go. But no, the Yehuda makes a distinction. He wants to say you only have to mevarer a Svek Sveka if you could mevarer both Svekas. Like if I could figure, but since I can't ever mevarer whether the child is going to lead to fruition or not, so if I don't even have to do, so even according, even if you assume like the Shach, that you have to mevarer, the node uses within the Shach, maybe you could argue you only have to mevarer if you can mevarer both Svekas. So that seems to be the machlokas there. So therefore, according to, if you take the rokeach at face value, it's working midin svek sveka, and therefore, so he said it's mutter. But bizman hazeh, perhaps if one, even if you took a sonogram for other reasons, medical reasons, and you know it's a boy, so perhaps then according to the rokeach, it would be usher, because it's only a suffix deraisa uchumra now. It'd be a classic case where the principles don't change, but the reality changes. That's a discussion, how you learn the rokeach. So it comes along the Prima Gadin and says, what are you talking about? I don't like, what's the rokeach talking? I don't like the rokeach svek sveka. A svek sveka means, you know, suffix a shakel, 50-50. What kind of suffix is shema nefo? That's a very small percent. Definitely today, but I assume it's a small percent then also. Maybe bigger, but smaller than it is today. So it's not a good svek, it's not a good svek sveka. He rips apart the svek sveka. Others want to say, based on a Gemara and Yevamos, they see that svek svekas even work on a miyut. But either way, that's not for now. That's the Gemara and Yevamos that didn't cook your test. But either way, so the Chasim Sofer likes the Kasha and says, you're right. We have to reinterpret the rokeach. The words of the rokeach say svek sveka, but he clearly can't mean svek sveka because it's not a good svek sveka. So he said, you know what the rokeach means? So he means he's really going with rove. They're really 50-50 zachar and the keva, but now there's a small percent that turned out to be a nefil, so therefore you have over 50%. So you have over a 50% chance that the person's not a girl, they're not a boy, and therefore that's why the rokeach says you could go into a cemetery. It's really, I mean, everyone agrees the rokeach says it's mutter, but they say oh, it's rov. And therefore, obviously, if you go with the technicals or the fundamentals, the technicals obviously say svek sveka, according to the Chasam Sofer, the fundamentals don't. So, my nafkamina, what's the difference? If I say the rokeach is working mitam svek sveka or mitam rov, either way, I could go in, a major difference. If you hold it like the Shach, maybe no difference. But if you hold like the others, everyone agrees when it comes to Rov, you have to be Mavara. If it's Efshar to Mavara, you have to. So according to the Chasam Sofer's understanding of the Rokeach, so if you're able to get a sonogram, you'd be Mechuyev too. But according to the Rokeach's understanding, according to the simple Pshat, no. If you hold Svek Sveka, and since you can't be Mavara Bosh, you wouldn't have. That'd be a... So I think Rabbi Bleich, among others, goes with the Chasam Sofer, and he says if a woman, if a pregnant wife of a kohen wants to go to a cemetery, she'd have to take a test. If the test came out girl, then it's fine. If it came out boy, then she can't go. That's all, you know, I'm not saying I'll give reasons why, even if you assume, so that's the fundamental machlokas rokeach and the Chasam Sofer, not fundamental machlokas, it's how you interpret the rokeach. So I'm going to point out that even if you assume, so according to the Rokeach, it should come out that if you know for sure it's a boy from a sonogram, you can't go in. I want to say perhaps even if you know for sure it's a boy, maybe you could still argue you to go in, assuming even if you took a sonogram. I'm not saying me personally. The post can say, so what's the, there's a famous kasha of the Magen Avraham on the Rokeach. The Shach quoted the Rokeach about the Svek Sveka, so the Magen Avraham doesn't get it. He says, I don't get it. What do we need the reason of Svek Sveka? We have a Gemara, we have a much simpler reason. Why? We have a Mishnah in Olas, Gemara in Chulin, that we have a principle of Tuma Belua, Eino Mitama. In other words, we have a concept, let's say, you go into a, someone goes into a cemetery, and but they swallow the ring, let's say, something metal, and so it's in their stomach now. So if you go into the funeral, you become Tameh, but the ring doesn't. The ring is, because it's Tuma Belua, so it's Eino Mitama. So the Magen Avraham says, I don't get it. Last I checked, Eino Belua Gedula Mizu, a fetus can't be any more Belua. So what are you talking about? Forget about the Svek Sveka. Even without Svek Sveka, who cares? I know 100% it's a boy. Who cares? It's Tuma Belua. That's the Magen Avraham's question. He leaves it Tzarechiyan. So the Radvaz, he offered a different answer. The Radvaz wanted an answer. I think he was even before the Magen Avraham. So he could have the same Shaila. He wants to say about the Rokeach. You know what the Rokeach's talking about? Good kash by the Magen Avraham. And really, you're right, really you have nothing to worry about. A woman who's pregnant, a wife of a Kohen, could go to a cemetery 100%. So what is the Rokeach talking about? Mairi be'ishak shakarva yamel oledes. No, we're talking about someone who's at the due date today, tomorrow. And your concern is that you might actually give birth in the cemetery. That's the concern. That's when you shouldn't go to the cemetery. But not because it won't be Tuma Belua anymore. But in Echinami, most of the time it's not an issue. That's how the Radvaz learns. But the Mishnah Berurah and Simin Shin Mem Gimel Sifkan Gimel, he's Choek. He writes Eishes Koim Uberes Shakarbo Yamel Aledes. Mutta likanes lechatchila ba'olameis. He obviously doesn't. He says one is permitted lechatchila. So you know, I guess at this point he's going with the Svek Sveka, and he's saying you don't have to be mavarer. So that's So comes along the Avnei Meluim and says, what are you talking about? The Magen Avraham's kasha makes no sense. And the Radvaz, what do you mean? What was the kasha? What do we need Svek Sveka? Tuma Belua. That's why it's Eino Mitama. So the Avnei Meluim says no. It's true, yeah, it is a Mishnah. The Mishnah is a big difference. The Mishnah is talking about when you have a foreign object in your body, like a ring. So then we say, Tuma Belua Eino Mitame. But if it's part of your body, the natural process, it is, it's not a chatzitza. How does he know that? He says, the Gemara in Yevamos. Ayin Ches Amen Aleph. The Gemara has a famous case of a non-Jewish woman who is pregnant, converting to Judaism. There's a whole discussion, you know, the basin has to know she's pregnant, this and that, but Bina Ein Sarach Tfila. The child does not need Tfila. In other words, we consider the child Jewish. Ay, well, my Ein Sarach Tfila. What do you mean? Why don't you need Tfila? Isn't it a Chatzitza? Tuma Belua. So if the child didn't get wet, the water is in, maybe the water in the fetus, but not from the mikvah. So what do you mean? How does it work? So the Gemara says, Shani Uber Dahaina Revise. In other words, that since it's the normal way to do, that's just the normal natural process, so therefore we don't consider it being a chatzitza. So the Avnei Meluim says, what are you talking about? It's true a ring doesn't become tummy, but a fetus is not, the womb is not a good chatzitza, and therefore the Rokeach has to come on to Svek Sveko. You'll have to come on to another reason because it's not. So that's the, so others want to answer the Avnei Meluim that maybe Einachinami, you're right. They want to say another Lumbis, Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, I think it's in the Erie, that Einachinami, you're right. But It's true. A fetus in utero, the Av Nei Muhu Mu Hod, the fetus in utero can become tame. But once the baby comes out, it's a katan shehigdo, could it's like a newborn baby. So therefore, the fetus might have been tame, but when you come out, you're not your tahar. Because that's because why? Because they bring a raya from a Mishnah in Parah. The Gemara talks about the Mishnah talks about when they used to prepare the people for the Parah Aduma, so they had to bring them to a certain area in Yerushalayim. So it's a discuss. So some want to bring a raya. We see that they want to bring a raya that they only brought them right before childbirth, and therefore, what about when during when they were a fetus? Apparently, we're not worried about it. We only care about it once you're born. So we see it's not affected. So we see it goes by when you're born. Not so we see that you, they weren't the person wasn't tummy. So I said the answer to Av Nei Muhu, you have to say he is tummy, but he becomes tar again afterwards. So that'd be so we have the issue of Svek Sveka to be matir. You don't like the Svek Sveka, like the Chasam Sofer, it's rove, you need to be. It does the sign again. Well, we have the whole issue of Tuma Balua. Av Nei Muhu says it's a no-go. So we have a third possible heter that the Gemara says in Yevamos. And I think it's Ayin Zayin. Yevamos Ayin Zayin. The Gemara talks about that it, the question is, at what point does the child, when does life begin? So we know abortion is us there, but the question is, when does the father-child relationship begin? Clearly, the mother relationship began in conception. But in other words, when does it get, like it's definitely a male, like let's assume it's a male. So let's assume we know it's a male fetus inside. But at what time does he become a kohen? So there's a they want to bring a raya from a Gemara in Yevamos. Uber b'mei zara zaru that they want to bring a raya that even if the father's a kohen, but while he's in the fetus, he's still a nothing. He's a zar. You don't become the status of a kohen until you're actually born. So therefore, they want to say, see, even if you want to tell me you don't go for the Svek Sveka, you don't like the Tuma Balua. After all said and done, it's not an issue. If you're not, they, either that's why they weren't worried about it in by the Parah. You don't get it. They brought him right before birth because you don't get the status of a Kohen until you actually get there. And in fact, that's what the Chasam Sofer writes. His Raya is we have a principle Uber b'mei, I mean, we have a principle Uber Yerach Imo. He takes that literally. Uber, the fetus, is part of the mother. So the mother's not a Kohen. It takes on this, while you're in the fetus, you're like mommy. You don't take on the status of a Kohen or whatever, a Levi or whatever you are until afterwards. So those are the three sides to be matir are Svek Sveka, the Rokeach, with this, you have Tumah Balua discussion, and you have Uber. So what's the side to be machmir? So besides, taking to task all those reasons. So that's actually Rav Schechter is machmir. And that's the opinion of Rav Chaim Moshe Gruzinski, as well as I think Rav Chanan Wasserman. They want to say a different pshat. So the Achiezer writes that he wanted to say because it's an issue like this: a shiter that by a goseis that a kohen can't walk into a room of a goseis. So right, the pasha is because a goseis is going to die, and there's a din d'rabban, and others learn no. Some hold it's a din d'oraisa. That why? Because so why would it be a din d'oraisa? So because the issue is that the issue since the ghosties might die, even though he's not dying, so they want their yisod is as follows. They want to say we're assuming that the iser of going and coming in contact with the mace is problematic because it leads to the issur of tumah. In other words, a kohen can't become tameh. In other words, the shaila is like this: if they could give me a hecha timsa, where I could walk into Ohel Mace and not become Tameh, is it mutter or not? So we're assuming up until now that if you can make up a, Hechatimsa, Tumah, Beruah, whatever the Svek Sveka, so therefore, even though you might not become Tameh, you may or may not, it's still okay. The Rav Chaim Ozer, Rav Schechter, others, they want to bring out, no, there's a separate Isser. There's an Isser of Kruva Lameis, that even if you don't become Tameh, the fact you come into Ohel HaMeis and you know you're not going to become Tameh, it's still an Issa Deraisa. It's that, they have, and the Rambam holds, that even if you're Tameh, you can't come in contact with a Kohen, can't go ahead and touch another Meis. In other words, it's not necessarily result-oriented. That's why Rav Schechter's Machmer here, but he's more makel by going a Kohen going on a plane. Because it's hard to say when you're flying like all the way up in the sky, you're violating a crew, even though the Issa Tumah goes up L'Rakia. So, it comes with Kuas and Chumrah. So Rav Schechter and others, are Machmer. So the bottom line is, I'm Mako on the Shiloh. I spoke to Rav David Cohn once about it. So he said, Mutter. I said, why? Which of the three reasons? He said, what's the difference? I'm telling you it's good. I said, because I have a share to give. No, I didn't answer. I said, I'm happy, I like pressing him. So either way, I've had this shiloh actually a couple of times. I was Mako. And also the case was actually, because it was Ashes Cohen who was also a Bas Cohen. So why should that make a difference? It only made a difference because the shiloh was my father's, the shiloh was because, they lived in a family of Kohanim, so there weren't too many people who could, maybe there's no sons or something. So she was the only one who really could go with him, family member who could be there, maybe other family members. Either way, the bottom line was, Yeshal, there are those who are machmir and say no, like Rav Schechter and others, and many say, Rav David Cohen and others say, and the Mishnah Berurah seemed to be Mako, he said it straight out, that you can even go mutter, so a woman, a pregnant woman, could go out even lechatchila. So therefore, yesh v'yesh. So obviously, if you don't have to go, I'm agreeing you shouldn't go. There's no reason to go in if you to deal with a possible daraisa. But if there's a tzarach, shalom bayis, other issues, if there's there's to go. And then regarding the other shaila of a stam eishes kohen, I mean a stam pregnant woman, so there's an accepted minhag Yisrael not to go to the cemetery. That's pure minhag. There's no halakhic reason for it. And what they give is, the standard reasons given for it is because number one is like because as we're worried about the mental health of the woman. Like, usually cemeteries don't bring out the best in people. It could be very emotional. Like Minhag Yerushalayim, they don't get family members bury the dead because of that. So, it's emotional issues. It might be a good idea for the woman not to go in. Or they give more like, there's negative spiritual reasons to go in. All that Tumah, the story with the Gra. His brother picked him up once and he said he's never going back again to just go to his mother's cemetery. He couldn't take the pain. The Tumah was too, we don't. I don't think we have to worry about the grub, but there is some type of, whatever the koach ha-tumah means there. And as I saw, some brings more of a unique answer that the Meheru Yibana Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah and Parah, they want to claim that the concept was, even though it seems to be pashas, they only brought them in right before birth. But since when a woman was pregnant, there's a concept of her trying to be tar, even though, not to be in. When they're doing the paraduma, so Meheru Yibana Beis HaMikdash or Zecher HaMikdash, we try to keep a woman, the vlad as tahara as possible. And also that's and the bottom line is I think also I think they say a story of Yaakov Kamenetsky. It was at a convention in his house, and I think the story, I think there were some different gedolim there, and I think there was a pregnant. I think maybe it was his daughter-in-law. And he, and like there were, so he said, let the daughter-in-law go walk out first. Ulai, maybe she's holding the Mashiach. Maybe the Mashiach's coming from him. I don't, he wasn't a Chabad, I don't think Rabbi Yaakov thought it was the Mashiach. But I think the issue was that the Koach Achius, that it is double life. You know, the ultimate life is a pregnant woman, because her own life and carrying another life. And the cemetery is the Avi Avos HaTumah, is, and therefore it's this total, you know, there's a spiritual, there's an energy. In fact, that's the thing Rav Laizer tells, and tells the yeshiva. I guess they were doing a protest one day that they were complaining about the food. Actually, they had a kohen line there, by the way. The kohanim didn't have to wait online, but they had a, so they were doing, I guess they were complaining about the food, so they had a protest. The protest was, he said, you know what, tomorrow we're not gonna ask any questions in shiur. So I guess Rav tells her, he started giving shiur, I don't know. And I guess the way tells is learn is back and forth, and I guess 5 minutes, 10 minutes, like not a word. So he gave a clap and said, this ain't the Beis HaKfaras here. In other words, there's no chiyas. When there's no chiyas, that's death. So, you know, so to speak, that the ultimate, the koach achi is a woman, you know, carrying, you know, going to a mikvah, carrying a baby, and therefore that's the minhag Yisrael of a, even a non-pregnant, a non-wife of a kohen, if avoidable, and it's a strong chassidish minhag. So of course, if you can, if there are other reasons why you have to go, then you definitely go. But if you could avoid it, so those are the, that's what the minhag Yisrael is based on. Of, well, Eishes kohen might be more than a minhag, depending how you come out, and Eishes, everyone else is certainly a minhag, and that's the minhag is not to is not to go in. I guess we went a little late. You'll have to have a, you'll have to have a quick you'll have to have a quick dinner. Oh, perfect. That's what Efshar Lakayim Shnehem. Okay, so okay, so you're working. Okay, so have a good Shabbos, then we'll be in touch. Okay, bye.